I just want to bring a few thoughts this morning, just out of my own study and how God has blessed me and challenged me, you know, and I hope to sort of pass that on to you, that blessing and the challenge that, you know, we live in a desperate world, don't we? You know, it's a right old mess. But praise be to God, one day, soon and very soon, we'll be going to see the Lord. Amen? Amen. 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 And how we long to see Him. Can you imagine that day when we stand in His presence and there's a glory and a majesty of the throne room of God? And he says, come in, my sons, come in. You know, and wow, sometimes I sit there dwelling upon how good God has been to me in my life. And I know He wants to be very good in all of our lives and encourage us and challenge us. I'm going to read some verses from Revelation 19. You can follow or listen. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen are the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, for he had a name written, a name that no one knew except he himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword, a sharp sword, and with it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading. Stutteringly though it was the Word of God. Let's just commit my little session to the Lord. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. Almighty God, we thank you, you are the sovereign God, that you rule and reign supreme. Lord, you rule majestically, powerfully. Lord, all must bow the knees. And we know, Lord, that you've given us a privilege that one day we will bow the knee to you too. We will humble ourselves before you, before your throne of grace, and worship you for all that you've done. You've taken us from the dung heap and you've placed us in a palace. We praise you, Almighty God. We want to tell you this morning how much we love you and how much we praise you for all that you've done. Just bless our short time in the sharing here, Lord, that we can be encouraged, Lord, to go on with you, Lord, and believe your word more and more. I'm sure we all do, but it was good to encourage my heart when I studied it, Lord, and I hope it may be an encouragement here. Father, we ask that in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Sort these out. Hang on. In my readings, I was reading through the book of Revelation, and I've read it many times before, but there are those times that when you read something, it's just as though the Lord is speaking to you. And when in the first verse that I read, it spoke about God in his omnipotence and omnipresence. He spoke of him in his glory and his majesty. And I really felt it challenged me. We have to understand that our God is the powerful God. He rules and reigns supreme. There is no other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all around the world, you see all these so-called gods, gods who can do mighty deeds. But as you read through the scriptures, I was reading through the Old Testament, and Elijah with the prophets of Baal, with Ahab, and he said to them, perhaps your God is sleeping, when they didn't burn up the offering. Perhaps your God has gone on holiday. But when he called on the living God, the fire fell from heaven. And may the fire fall. And we know one day the fire from heaven will fall. The Lord will come back with all the saints with him to bring about his sovereign rule on the face of the earth. It's been an awful time, hasn't it, in history, seeing all these the wars and rumours of wars, the suffering, the pain. Yet one day, the righteous God, he will come and he will judge the nations. And unless people are in Christ, they will be condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire, separated from God. You know, to talk to people and explain to them, you know, you can have eternal life in Christ Jesus, or you can have eternal life in the flames. That's a simple choice, isn't it? Yeah. Sounds harsh, but it's not. God gives every opportunity. When you think of all that God has done for us by sending his only beloved son into the world, that we could know his forgiveness. You know, it was amazed me when I first was heard the gospel, and I couldn't believe. I thought, well, that's for children. That's for ladies and children, not for grown men. But the Lord takes hold of a life and he opens up our heart, and we are able to receive the good news of the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always want to encourage people, if you're not born again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, Paul said to the church at Philippi. And this is what we want to happen, isn't it? Let me encourage your hearts. Our God is the great God, the powerful God. He is supreme in everything. He works out his purposes. And even though the world looks on and thinks it's chaos, behind the scenes, God is working out his purposes. And you remember there's the story of if you look at the bottom of tapestry, that's right. You look at the bottom, underneath it looks a mess. And that's what we look at. We look at the underneath. But from God's side, his purposes and plans are perfectly in place and working wondrous works. And I want to encourage our hearts never to doubt or to feel that our God isn't able. He is able to do everything to the uttermost, to help us, to guide us and lead us, and to keep us, which I always find one of the blessed promises I remember You know, that we are kept by the power of God. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to stand in his presence. I know I'm going to feel the experience of the resurrected body. And I'm so looking forward to it. And when we read the end bit, where the Lord was on his white horse with a sharp sword, and then there were all his army around him, that's us. We will be coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes at the end of the tribulation period. Now, I'm believing that if we are coming up now to the tribulation period, before it hits me, I will be gone. I will be in the presence of God. I will be resurrected if I've fallen asleep, or I will be taken up in the air to be with the Lord forever. That's my hope, and I hope it's your hope. It's what the Bible, to me, seems to teach. And so my greatest desire is I would go to be in his presence and to enjoy the wonder of his presence. And then then we'll have the tribulation period where God will pour out his wrath upon mankind. I always like the scripture that says, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. There's no wrath on us. We have been forgiven and cleansed and purified, and we will live in his presence forevermore. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to our own understandings. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. And it's to encourage ourselves. We're in a world that has no time for God. Even the so-called churches. I was talking to or listening to something. I think it might have been on one of Mike's things, or I can't remember now. But it was saying that churches in America have so degraded. Whereas once upon a time it was, no country's ever a good, fully good Christian country, but it was good, you know, and they were better. But apparently now, in over 30% of churches, they will agree with abortion. In 30% of churches, they allow pornography to be shown among their members. You think, well, hang on, am I in the wrong church? Am I doing something wrong? Have I missed the point? And you think, how can this be? You have these people who are professing to be Christians, and yet they haven't purified themselves, and they live in the world in the old way. Now, I'm not condemning anybody with the abortion matter, but sometimes there may be a case that there's just nothing can be done about it. But I remember we were in a church in Oxford, the husband and wife, pastor and the wife, they had broken up. He'd been unfaithful to his wife many times, but she found herself pregnant, and she asked me to take her down and to the clinic, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't. I just could not do that. I will not be involved in you killing another human being. You know, and you can sympathize for her. He was such an unfaithful man, and yet the child had a right to life. I suppose you gather that I'm pro-life. But our God is a merciful God. And I believe children like that, you know, they'll be in the presence of God. They haven't had time to come to this world and do anything wrong. They haven't had the opportunity to believe on the living God of Israel. He's a merciful God. It was nice to hear the kiddies this morning, wasn't it? Joining in the worship.
Yeah.
Really was good. But let's encourage ourselves in these days, because the world will always bring people down, seek to destroy. But our faith, our fellowship, our Lord, they bring us up and they strengthen us. And here was the Lord at the end of the reading. He was sat there waiting to begin his campaign on earth. He'd come in to pick up the church at the when the tribulation began. He took them out of it and he placed them in heaven in his presence, and then He went back to heaven with them and he's waited. And now, at this point, this juncture, he's coming to destroy. He will come back. He will destroy the power of the devil. He will destroy the power of the world. And he will eventually establish his lordship over all the earth. And he will reign in Jerusalem. And all the nations on the earth will come to him, to worship him and acknowledge him. And I find the prophet Zechariah such a good read, if ever you want to read. And when you read through that, you find so much. It says, when he comes back, and that will be this time here, he'll come back and his foot will touch the Mount of Olives. He'll come back to the Mount of Olives and the mountain will be split in two. And then there'll be water coming out from Jerusalem. And then, I mean, I can't give you all the details of his return, but I think that's wonderful. And then what he will do, he will then prepare the planet Earth for the next period of time, for the 1,000-year reign on his reign on the Earth. So he'll make it, is it topography? He'll make that better. You know, because it would have just gone through a period of damage and wars and strife and pestilence and plague. And the devil would have been running rife during that period. And yet the Lord will bind him, have his servants bind him and put him away, out of the way for the period, for 1,000 years. Praise be to our God. When we think, somebody I think already prayed about what he did for us on the cross. The devil had us in his clutches, and yet he, by dying, our Lord Jesus Christ, and rising again, he defeated his power and his might, and he set us at liberty to serve him. Praise be to God. We should always be rejoicing in the God of our salvation, because there is no other God. You will never get satisfaction anywhere spiritually, the wrong sort of spiritual satisfaction. Look to the Lord. We need to encourage people. I was talking to how God gives opportunities. We were waiting for our shopping Friday, coming from Sainsbury's, and the chap, he helped me in the shopping, and he was chatting away, and he was saying he had this difficulty and that difficulty, and I said to him, I said, well, because he said, I don't know where to get help. I said, we get our help from the Lord. And he can help you too, if you look to him. And we had a good conversation. And it turns out his father, I'm not sure now whether he was an elder or a pastor or a deacon, I don't know. But he said he's a believer. And I said, well, then you need to be born again. And he said, well, how would I do it? And I explained to him how to do it so he could go away and do it. And then I said, well, come to church Sunday morning. I thought, yes. It's been such a long time since I've actually got somebody into church. Come to church. And he said, because of my Sainsbury's job, I'm working Sunday morning. But he said, I will come because I want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't call him Lord, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encouraged him to come, and he can know sin forgiven. He can know help, guidance, and blessing. He'd have the joy of knowing the Lord God, our God, the God of Israel. I mean, isn't God good? Just like that. I hadn't long been thinking. I haven't had an opportunity to share with anybody for such a long time. And yet this opportunity, the Lord said, there you go. You can't miss that one. Get on and do it. You know. So, but we need to be praising the Lord and encouraging one another. And what spoke to me was that the wife had made herself ready. She was preparing herself. She was preparing herself for her husband. She got ready. Now, you know, I can't imagine for anybody who's going to get married at any time. I mean, you wouldn't be happy if they turned up in their jogging bottoms on the day you're going to get married and said, here I am, darling. You think at least you could have put some effort into it. Well, if he turns up unshaven, got his Wellingtons on, you say, well, hang on, you could have tried, you know. But, you know, and as in with a bride and with a groom, they get ready. They prepare themselves for one another because it is one of the most precious things, they're the most precious thing in our experiences apart from the Lord. You know, and you know, so as we would work hard to get prepared for that, we also need to work hard to be prepared for the Lord. And the scriptures say that we as believers, we should make our calling and election sure. It's so, so important, because if you look around churches today, you just wonder what's going on. There's no real fear of the Lord, a reverential fear of the Lord. There's no concern for how they are, how Christians act. And what we need to do is to really ourselves draw near to God. And I've been feeling very much since all my problems started that the Lord was speaking to me. And I must confess, I've drawn closer in these months and years, I suppose, now that I've gone through my difficulties, to the Lord, and just sensed his presence and been aware of the moving of his Holy Spirit in my heart. Now, God had never moved, but it was me who sort of at times was far away from the Lord, or not as close as I should be. And I want to encourage us here this morning that we draw near to God. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We give ourselves wholeheartedly to God. Let me encourage you to give back to God the glory, the honour, and the praise due to his name. Because there is no other God. And I mean that, there is no other God. There are demonic representations, but our God, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He rules and reigns supreme. And one day, soon and very soon, he will set up his kingdom on the earth, and he will rule the earth, what did he say? With a rod of iron. He will govern this world, he from Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. One, can you imagine? I mean, if you look at, say, our government, or probably any government around the world, often the mess that's made of governing, and yet there is this one who is coming. And when he comes into Jerusalem, when he sets up his kingly reign from there, he will rule righteously, wonderfully, and we will be able to help him. And I don't know what we're going to do as his servants in the millennium, but we'll certainly be working for him, that's for sure. Let's encourage our hearts and take every opportunity to give God the glory and the praise. I'll just close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, we have the privilege this morning of being known by you. We thank you, Lord, that it's not by works. It's simply by faith and trust in you. It's simply because of your grace that we find ourselves forgiven, cleansed, assured of our eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, as we've read those scriptures in the Revelation there. There we are in our fine garments, our garments of righteousness. Lord, there'll be no more sickness for us, no more sadness, no more death, no more struggle. We will serve you for eternity. Lord, we thank you for the wondrous hope that you've given us. Lord, and may we pass on that hope to other people, that there is a God in heaven, who even though the world is gone to pot, he is working out his purposes. And he will one day send his Son into this world to rule and to reign. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Strengthen us, Lord, bless us, that we can live to your glory and to your praise. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.